Welcome to Finding Our Way. My name's James. My good friend Larry and myself are inviting you to join us in the conversations that we're having of our journey to finding our way to the goodness of God. God is good. God is love. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses against them. So come on, let's go. The party has already started. I guess I could tell one.
You had spliced these out over several episodes.
on the property that I grew up on, my dad, we had like 40 acres. One side of it, we had a fence, and then there was woods on the other side of that fence. There was woods on both sides, but I would go to that fence squirrel hunt with my dog. He's Tennessee Mountain Cur, yellow, bobtail, born that way. Man, he started treeing squirrels by himself at 5 months old.
Wow, that's early.
And I would go, and I didn't teach him this. He just
instinct.
Smart dog.
Instinct.
I'd go stand at the fence. He'd go on through the fence, go make a circle. And if he didn't find a squirrel, he'd come back to me. We'd go hunt another patch.
Yeah.
But often he would find a squirrel. A lot of times he would wind them, just smell them. He wasn't tracking, trailing them.
Right.
Smell them in the air. That was best squirrel dog, man. You'd never guess his name.
Trixie.
Hank.
Oh.
You come up with a Trixie.
Well, I'm trying to come up with
daggone Trixie.
Yeah, I'm just trying to.
Not dog mess, that mess, I named.
Mess with you. I see it work too.
Hank, that was his name. He'd ride right there a lot of times when I was in high school. He was my senior year. He was right there.
Right over here.
Yep.
Yeah, different dogs would hunt different distances from you. Different and even different methods.
Yeah.
You wanted the one that would, I would say, circle you, come back to you. That was ideal. And not one that went way off. Some would just beelined away from you, like just straight away and never turned.
Peculiar.
And then some would circle you. Yeah. That's, I always liked the ones that circle me and not too far from me.
Yeah. Peculiar thing about Hank. I tried to coon hunt him because his dad was a jam-up coon dog.
Yeah.
I didn't mention this, but that stock was Robert C. Keemer, what they call Keemer stock. He had lots of good dogs, and that's where this one came from. But his dad was a coon dog. But I tried coon hunting him. He would not get out from under my feet.
He's scared of the dark.
At night.
He's scared of the dark.
Guess. He didn't want to go out there with them other dogs.
He'd heard about them big old coons as big as him.
I guess.
Something we talked about earlier is love doesn't force or coerce, manipulate or compel anything like that. It woos us. It reveals. It waits. It's patient. And God deals with us in love. And back to that idea, well, what happens after somebody dies stuff and the time element of that we don't know about? God's not going to make anybody do anything.
Yeah.
But when you get your blinders off, you're going to change what you think.
That's right.
You know, when you step in the presence of unconditional love, things change. Because now you can't even believe there's unconditional love.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So, I'll say it like this, James. You go to any church house in America and preach the unconditional love of God, and the people on the pew won't believe it.
No.
They go, yeah, I hear you, but.
Yeah.
You know. They sure won't leave there feeling loved.
Yeah.
You know, because I just can't believe God loves me because I haven't done this, or I did this, or what about, and all this junk comes up, just surfaces, and all that is the refiner's fire of love getting it out of us, of, yeah, I still love you, yeah. Which is what the cross was all about.
Yeah.
He was continually just revealing the love of God for us.
That's right.
On our worst day.
Ephesians 1:18 come to mind. Read that, what Paul prayed, because that's what we're talking about. We got to give him a better sight, a better understanding of the one with whom we have to do.
Yeah. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. That is the wealth of God's glorious inheritances that he finds in us, his holy ones.
Opening our eyes.
The eyes of your imagination. That's how he translates it.
Yeah.
I think it's the eyes. Is it the eyes of the heart or eyes of the spirit?
Heart.
Eyes of the heart. Yeah, just like you got physical eyes, you have spiritual eyes, inner eyes, like your imagination. You can you can picture things in your head.
Yeah. I dare you to sit down in a chair and close your eyes and in your mind imagine meeting with Jesus and talking to Jesus. What would you say? How would that go?
Yeah.
Just see, imagine it.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, Brad Jerzak has things on encountering a facilitating or encounter
facilitating an encounter with God.
Yeah, you can Google that and find it. He's got some good instructions about that.
But that's what we need. That's all we're saying. Mm-hmm. We've been duped.
Well,
our mind, there's had a veil over it. We've been blinded, even those of us that see.
Yeah, we're still seeing through a glass darkly.
And truly, I'm learning as I see better, as my vision is becoming clearer. My life is changing.
Oh, yeah.
From the inside out.
Oh, yeah.
The rest, the peace, the love, the joy.
Yeah. Well, how many of Christian people live stressed, worried lives?
Yeah.
And all that is that they are envisioning a future without God.
Yeah.
In it, because he is enough, and he is enough for the moment, and he will be enough tomorrow. But we struggle to believe that, and because of our unbelief of that, stress and worry, and then we enter in, and then we give influence to the fear and the stress and the worry, and let it start telling us what to think, and all we can think is bad things.
Yeah.
Bad things are going to happen, and what am I going to do, and this is going to be so hard.
We do all that, not realizing the power of our thoughts.
Yeah, and boy, that's a rapid descent into a pit of misery fast.
Yeah.
All the time forgetting what about Jesus and his abiding spirit. And his victory at the cross and the goodness of your Father, that just kind of goes away from our conscious mind.
Yep. Yeah, we don't realize the nature of our thoughts, this energy that we're projecting. scientifically is proven our thoughts. I mean, where's the thought come from?
nobody knows. Yeah.
I know a fella, I was listening to him. He said that the thought comes from consciousness.
Yeah.
Our thought is not who we are.
Yeah.
We can be aware of a thought, but the one that's aware is not the thought.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. One time I listened to somebody talk about some doing some brain research on like watching your brain as you think.
Yeah.
Like when your brain fires versus when the thought is in your head.
Yeah.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't remember all of what I heard about that.
Well, we're conscious beings, and all I'm trying to say is if we can learn to live in union with the one that we are in union with, being aware of his presence, we have the mind of Christ, and if we are conscious of him, then life can be lived on a higher plane.
Yeah.
Life abundant to the full till it overflows, says the Amplified, John 10:10. Romans 2 talks about that judgment. No, Paul talks about according to my gospel.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 4:5.
How about this? Therefore, judge nothing before the time.
Before the time.
Yeah. Okay. Until the Lord comes, who will bring both to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And that's where that whole, the old chick track we had with kids, this is your life. And anyhow, the whole idea of, you know, you're going to be real embarrassed when God shows the world what all you've done.
That's right.
All right. And the whole idea was, it was guilt-driven, shame-empowering, fear-mongering concept.
Yeah.
Every bit, if there wasn't an ounce of love in it at all, it was just to control you and to get you to do whatever it is they want you to do, you know. And a total abuse of the gospel and the scriptures. Because where I was reading from there in 1 Corinthians 4:5, he says, and then each one's praise will come from God.
Each one's,
yeah. All right, the whole idea is that the future judgment, first of all sin was judged at the cross.
That's right.
So we can't even show up at a future judgment.
No.
Okay? Or God's not just. All right. And then, so he's judging our works about what we have done with him. Yeah. And it's wood, hay, or gold, silver, depending on did you do it with him or apart from him.
Yeah.
That's how I look at that. All right. But the whole point even of that is he is only judging your works to
he's looking for something to praise.
He's looking for something to praise. That's right. It's not where did you get it wrong, it's where did you get it right.
Yeah.
Where did we together do something?
Yeah.
And and where did your true self show up? That's what we're looking for.
Yeah.
And who you are and what you've done.
That reminds me of relationships with people. You know, it's all right, Larry, if you want to point out some of my faults.
Oh, I got a list. You want me to get them out here, James?
But isn't it so much encouraging when somebody comes to you and just has some praise?
A whole lot more encouraging.
I want to point out this to you.
Yeah.
Why is it? What's that? There's something in you that is really built up and encouraged by it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that is the heart of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
He's not trying to tear somebody down.
No. No.
Does that mean he doesn't convict?
Mm-hmm. He does.
Not necessarily, but...
But it's how he does that, and the way he does it, and how you understand that. And I don't know that I even can describe or explain that way. I just know that I go back to all of what we think's wrong. He dealt with at the cross, and it's off the table. Yeah. And he's like, "You're a new man, and it's all right." And I'm just slowly revealing that to you.
Yeah, at this new covenant table in which you're sitting.
Yes.
The table of the king.
But I think part of it is no one likes to be wrong. Okay. And no one likes to change. And nobody likes to learn to do different.
Yeah. That was one of the questions I had years ago, looking at where I come through and school, seminary, and all, looking around. I'm like, you know, some of these folks been here doing this longer than I've been alive.
Oh, yeah.
And ain't changed one iota of their belief.
Right.
How they view things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm like, something just ain't right. I'm not judging them.
No.
I'm just saying I learned living things grow.
That's right.
And growing things change.
That's right.
I learned that from Wade Trimmer.
That's good.
Living, that is good. Living things grow, if you, growing things change.
If you never change your thoughts, I don't think you're intellectually honest.
Yeah.
You can't have it all figured out and always be right about all things at all times. Somewhere along the way,
that's right.
You can't just say, first time I picked up this Bible, I was right about every verse I read.
Yeah. Because like, so-and-so taught it to me this way.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. No way. Jesus. I am thankful. Man. Just the liberty that you sense and feel when you begin to realize he dealt with that was against you at the cross.
Yeah.
He's dealt with it.
Everything that was against you, everything that was adversarial, in opposition, every lie, error, heresy, falsehood, everything broken, sick, wrong, it all got dealt with at the cross.
We might need to read that.
One fatal swap.
We might need to read that over there in 1 Timothy 1:10. Is that what it's where he talks about abolishing, obliterating death? Something like that. There's been lots of books that have blessed me, and I'm still being blessed, but I just want to brag on Robin Schmidt. I've read it on my Kindle, but I've liked it so much I bought a hard copy, and I've read this one, but I'm reading it again. Awakened by Robin Schmidt, A Raw Offensive Journey of Grace. I can't say that right, probably. It's a meeting with God, a journey with God. And her most recent one is just off the charts, man. When I read this one, it's like I'm reading some stuff we've been talking about and tracking through. Behold the Lamb by Robin Schmidt. And she just asked a question here on the back. It says, what if Jesus left nothing unfinished at the cross, completely undoing everything Adam did? Two good books you can get on Amazon for a little bit of nothing.
Yeah, and they are good.
Oh, yeah, they are
good. All right. You mentioned this scripture in 2 Timothy 1. Let's see. I think it starts. I'm going to start, I guess, verse 9.
Yeah.
He gave us resurrection life and drew us to himself by his holy calling on our lives.
See, that's right opposite of what we learned. He draws you, and if you repent,
right,
you can get the resurrection life.
Yes.
That's not what that's saying.
Yeah, he gave us resurrection life and drew us to himself. Yeah.
Go ahead. Right. I'm sorry.
No, that's good. And it wasn't because of any good we have done.
Come on.
But by his divine pleasure. And marvelous grace that confirmed our union with the anointed Jesus even before time began.
His divine pleasure.
Yeah. Well, that's the first thing, is God takes great delight. It's His happy delight to be human, to love us, to make us, to save us, and to do life with us.
He likes hanging out with you, Larry.
Believe it or not. I'd like to move away from myself.
He's looking through your eyes.
I know it.
Interpreting
life.
That's
right.
That's good.
It is good. All right, but that's part of it is, okay, that it was everything he's doing, he's happy to do. It's his divine pleasure.
That's right.
It goes back to, because we're not having any fun, we don't think he's having any fun.
Yeah.
And we think the only way to have fun is something that I'm gonna say is sinful.
Yeah.
At least that's what I heard in church, kind of thing. And you sure better not be smiling and having a good time and happy at church.
The
sisters will call you down that.
Yeah.
This ain't no place to be laughing and giggling.
Laughing and giggling in here.
Yeah, yeah. Ain't no place to be telling jokes.
I remember hearing about the pleasures of sin.
Yeah, pleasures of sin for a season. Yeah. Anyway, I'm digressing. Yeah. But it's divine pleasure. He confirmed our union. We already had union, but it was confirmed at the cross.
That's exactly
the union
right.
Started before creation.
Yeah.
It got confirmed at the cross.
Yeah.
Gets experienced in faith, but it's still there. It's
before
reality.
I formed you.
Yeah.
I knew you.
That's right. That's right. He's never been confused about us.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. He's never been deceived, confused, misled.
Yeah.
He's never been disappointed, because it's not like he had a bad plan.
That's right.
The plan from the ages that's unfolded over time and is continuing to unfold was a good plan that he took.
Time.
He's like, man, he's having a blast today. Humanity is slowly awakening to the fact that they are loved.
Yeah.
And they are in union with him.
Yeah.
He said, this truth is now being unveiled by the revelation of the anointed Jesus, our life giver, who has dismantled death, obliterating all its effects on our lives, and has manifested his immortal life in us by the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
That's where
there
I want to live.
Yeah.
Whew.
That is the life that's available to us.
Obliterated death, dismantling all of its effects.
Mm-hmm.
Has revealed immortal life in us. Man, that's good. Another scripture, as you were talking a while ago, that came to mind, that made me say, before I formed you, I knew you.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 7, where Jesus talked about that day that's coming.
Yeah.
He'll say,
I never knew you. Oh,
depart
yeah.
from me, you workers of iniquity. Never knew you.
That's right. That's right. Okay.
Oh.
All right. This will blow you.
Yeah.
Blow the crackers off your brain right here now. I'm telling you. Because everybody goes to that scripture, depart from me, for I ever knew you.
Never.
Okay. All right. But what we can't fathom is that false identity that we've lived most of our life in.
Mm-hmm.
He never knew.
That's right.
That's not what he created, and that's not what he knew us as. And that's not what he's going to know us as for all eternity. And he's like, get that crap out of here. I don't know that part of you.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's legitimate interpretation of that. I mean.
Yeah. Well, it went back to, we want people into the two categories.
That's right.
These I know and these I don't. Okay. You got to think about that different, okay? We're all in him.
Yeah.
Some believe and some don't, but you're still in him. What he knows about you is who you were before the creation of the world in his mind, who he got out of the tomb to secure and unveil, and who you'll be for all eternity. That's what he's focused on, and that's what he knows. And all that other, he's like, depart from me.
Yeah.
I judged that at the cross. Don't bring that in here. That's wood, hay, and stubble. That's not who you are. I came to rescue you from that.
That's right.
Yeah. That might be the only life you know, or that may be who you be convinced to who you are, but God's like, that's not how I know you.
Yeah.
That's not who you are.
That's not you.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe this, I don't know if it's a good or bad illustration, James, but I just think about in my pastoral ministry, how many parents that I have sat with, cried with, prayed with, and counseled with, who had kids that went astray.
Yeah.
Maybe they got hooked on drugs. Maybe they, you know, just started making a series of bad decisions. Just went to acting a fool, whatever kind of thing. And those parents would say, that's not who they are.
Yeah.
That's not what I raised them to be. I don't know what's gotten into them.
That's right.
What's wrong with them? Because that's not, we didn't model that. That's not what,
that's
you know.
Not who they are. That's,
yeah. So the parents convinced when the kid is acting a fool,
yeah,
that that's not who they really are. But if you go talk to the kid, oh, that's who I am. I'm, you know, I'm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I can remember past conversations with people about that. They just don't realize who they are.
Yeah, and that is what it is. All of our addictions, bad habits, unloving ways, all that kind of stuff. It is just a failure to embrace who we are in Christ.
Hey, thanks for listening to us talk about how we're finding our way. We hope it helps you find your way to experiencing the goodness of our Heavenly Father, the abundant life Jesus shares with us now, and the immeasurable love He has for everyone. For more information or to contact us, go to our website, findingourway.co.